Friday, August 25th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show presented by Toyota. It is an absolutely fantastic day to talk ball. Joining me to do just that, it's the betting bros, the betting boys. They're back. They're back in action. It's Scott Pienowski and Frank Schwab. Frank, welcome back, man. It's been a minute since you've been on the show.
I'm excited. You know, we talked a little ball, me and Charles McDonald yesterday. That was fun. But this is my wheelhouse, right? Me and him go way, way back. And I enjoy actually what I disagree with Scott, because when I'm placing these bets, I want to feel good about it. And when I disagree with him, he's one of the few people, you are too, Matt, when I'm talking about like fantasy receivers, that makes me rethink things. Oh, I have this conviction on the Tennessee Titans that we're going to talk about. Oh, but Scott disagrees with me. I need to rethink that. So I love doing shows like this, especially with Scott, because he's one of the few people who will actually make me rethink everything I think about certain teams, certain bets.
Wow, what a nice, what a lovely introduction from my friend Frank. Yeah, we go way back. We go way back like, you know, like Mike and Worm. We go way back like Clyde Frazier and Pearl Monroe, setting the table for another hour of references that Matt will not understand, but hopefully understand the gentle listener will. And Frank and I will be doing some teams together. We're in a Derek Van Riper's pentathlon together. Yes. We'll usually do at least one regular managed league together too. So it's a great day to talk football, man. And we're getting close, teeth of the draft season. We're almost through this rigmarole they call preseason. So let's do this. Let's get the people what they want. Let's grind out some rent money.
Yes, we are almost mercifully through preseason. Frank said it. He said the C word. It is convictions week here. This is the end of conviction week on the podcast. We're going to do that by the betting bros offering up their best bets of the season. Best bets. Say that 10 times fat. Listen, it's going to be a great episode. It's going to be awesome. First, before we get into that, we do have to talk a light little sprinkling of news here, starting with the Trey Lance experiment in San Francisco, I think is officially over. We can wave the white flag. Kyle Shanahan announced that Sam Darnold is going to be the QB2 for this team. The QB3 will be Trey Lance. He said this in a radio interview, not in front of like the full press conference, which fun choice by Kyle Shanahan. And basically saying that, look, they're not giving up on Trey Lance, but they also didn't close the door on trading him, like trying to find a situation that works best for him. Frank, I'll kick this one to you because I know you and I were very excited about Trey Lance going into last season. What's kind of your reaction to this move, which at this point, like, it honestly didn't catch me by surprise.
Not even a little bit. And yeah, you can go back 12 months and find all of my Trey Lance MVP takes. Those have aged really, really well, by the way. I had some losing tickets on that. I will die on this hill that if Trey Lance stays healthy last year, he has the Brock Purdy season. And his career is entirely different. That's the funny thing is we're going to call Trey Lance a bust, right? Because he's going to get traded after all. We haven't even seen him play. Somebody asked me yesterday about him. Like, has this ever happened really where we've kind of called a guy a bust when he never even played? Like, Jamarcus Russell at least played. We saw him stink. Like, Trey Lance has played four starts, and one of those starts he got knocked out in the first quarter with a season-ending injury. So basically he's had three starts in his NFL career, and the 49ers have completely given up on him. I buy the conspiracy that Kyle Shanahan never wanted him, that he wanted Mac Jones at number three. That was the smoke, right? And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they draft Trey Lance. And Shanahan wants robots. That's why he has this infatuation with Kirk Cousins. That's why Brock Purdy fits so well. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo won so many games. Trey Lance is not a robot, for better or worse. He's got more improvisation in his game. And, you know, and our NFL editor, Joey Galino, asked me, you know, when all this came out, he's like, hey, could you whip up a story on possible trade, you know, landing spots for Trey Lance? I'm like, okay, that sounds great. And the Minnesota Vikings, yeah, makes sense. They talked to San Francisco. Tampa Bay, yeah, they got nothing, but they got nothing next year either. And then number three is, you go through the teams and not many teams make sense to make a Trey Lance trade, unless they're just giving them away, like the Cardinals gave away Isaiah Simmons today. If you're doing like a fifth round pick swap, sure, we'll take out Trey Lance, no problem. But you're deep enough into his rookie contract now that, you know, he's guaranteed $5 million next year, a little bit more than that. You're not giving him that fifth year option, obviously. You don't want to give up any assets for a guy who hasn't played since 2019, really. Mm-hmm. What teams even make somewhat sense for Trey Lance? And it's the Vikings and the Bucks and nobody else, unless it's somebody completely off the top rope who we don't see coming. So it's a really weird spot for the 49ers. I actually think he's going to end up back in San Francisco because I don't think they want to give him away. And there's really not a lot of suitors for him. It's just an odd situation.
it's an odd situation. Maybe the Atlanta Falcons, if
yeah, you know, I think, I don't think they would give. I think they're really sold on Desmond Ridder for some reason. I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, why would you, if you were just weighing the two options, why would you not just want to kind of see what the guy that you took in the third round, like, just see what he looks like? He's been in your building. You know this guy. They also, I think, want to evolve past, like, the Marcus Mariota offense of last year. And I think Trey Lance at this point, if he had to play games, would kind of be in a Marcus Mariota-ish offense. My read on the situation is just, I sort of maybe could agree with you that the conspiracy theory that Kyle Shanahan never wanted Trey Lance to begin with. But I kind of read this as, remember after that, I think it was during the COVID season, they played Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, and Josh just, like, you know, basically took him apart, right? Like he took him to the woodshed. He was really good in that game. And I think Kyle said after that game, you know, I've always kind of wanted, you know, paraphrasing it, but wanted the point guard, but maybe there is an advantage to having these, like, guys that can elevate the system along with you. And I think that's what led them to Trey Lance. And then they did that in practice, and they did that very lightly in games, right? You mentioned he only played four games. One of them, he gets injured. One of them is in a freaking monsoon last year, so they've barely seen. And I think they sort of kind of tried to play it both ways by having Jimmy there and not getting him the reps that he needed, which is why, like, a guy like Anthony Richardson is playing this year, because you need to just get these dudes reps. But I think they went down that road a little bit, and then Kyle, like, led it right back to where he's always been, which is back to a guy in Brock Purdy. It's just like, hey, I'm going to show you where the guy's open. You throw it to that guy. Like, stay within my guardrails. Go outside a little bit, but don't make me move my guardrails, which they had to do with Trey Lance. Scott, is there any, like, lessons to learn from this? Because I know from, like, a fantasy angle, people got, like myself and Frank got really excited about Trey Lance last year. But, like, in, you know, results aside, like, in hindsight, from a process perspective, is that a mistake to chase these guys that obviously we don't know who they are as throwers, but are really potentially big time rushers?
This conversation has lasted longer than Trey Lance's on-field career. So, you know, I promise you we're going to get to something actionable after we finish this Trey Lance postmortem, but he didn't even play his final year in college, right? He had that one game. Right. And he was playing against substandard competition. It's just because he hasn't played, it's impossible to say what he is and what he isn't. I mean, I'll joke every once in a while about, remember when Trey Lance was the fantasy league winning pick and, you know, the boutique pound the table pick. But to be fair to him, he hasn't gotten on the field. So who the heck knows? And Shanahan, we also had a really interesting talk pre-show about what is Kyle Shanahan? You know, is he genius? Is he disappointment? Is he a guy who gave away a couple of Super Bowls? All those things can be true on some level. But after seeing Purdy play so well, I think Garoppolo's been overrated for most of his career, but he certainly had moments, went to a Super Bowl with the Niners. I think it's entirely plausible that Trey Lance would have been good to very good as a real pro and as a fantasy player if he's healthy, because it's such a user-friendly system. What quarterback would not want to play with George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel? And, of course, now they've added McCaffrey for a first full season. That's the best toy chest in the NFL. So if I were a team, I would love to have Lance as a, you know, what the heck backup. I don't know who's the Cowboys backup quarterback. I think that he would make a lot of sense.
Cooper Rush.
Yep. I would just love to have him as a what the heck backup, but the Niners aren't going to give him away. I also think here's the underdeveloped part of the story, and we don't have to go 10 rounds on this, but maybe they just like Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, by the way, was the number 2 pick in his draft class, and once upon a time,
number three.
Correct. Yep. That's right.
And I ripped the Giants for that at the time. Whoops.
But maybe could Sam Darnold have the Geno Smith career where everything goes wrong? He got mono for crying out loud. Who gets mono, right? Geno Smith famously punched by a teammate, right? Everything goes wrong for Geno Smith. He bounces around. Geno Smith, he's a joke. We're not even sure if he can beat out Drew Locke. And then Geno Smith finally gets a chance with a couple of good receivers. He was excellent last year. And I have all my draft rankings are predicated on the idea that Geno Smith is good. He is not a pumpkin, that he's going to be good in 2023. Maybe Sam Darnold can have a similar trajectory. And maybe what looks like, oh, the Niners, they hate Trey Lance, they want to be done with this. Maybe a big part of this is that they've really been impressed with Darnold.
Well, that's what Shanahan said in this radio interview, is that this isn't that Trey Lance looked bad. It's that they both looked good. Darnold just looked better. And maybe he's, you know, blowing smoke or whatever. Maybe
that first preseason game.
I mean, what else is he going to say? What else is he going to say? I get it.
But, trade value.
But still, I think Sam Darnold in the right situation. And you can say that about, you know, most quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, I think, would just be good. If you put 10 people who work in a, you know, auto garage or something, and Patrick Mahomes, you'd have a good offense. But most quarterbacks, they need environment. They need pieces. They need help. Sam Darnold gets help, man. Let's put it this way. I don't want to see Purdy get hurt, but if he gets hurt, I'm going to have formats where Sam Darnold's going to be one of my priority pickups the next week.
Oh, listen, from a morbid curiosity or like experiment sort of situation, who doesn't want to see Sam Darnold play in this 49ers offense? I mean, maybe I'm going to live to regret those words as like the biggest Brandon Ayuk backer on planet Earth. I might live to regret what I just said, but I'm just saying I'm at least interested in seeing what it looks like. All right, guys, before we get to Convictions Week with our best bets, we have one topic we got to hit on here. It's fantasy draft season, and we all want to build that perfect team to dominate our friends, family, and coworkers. So for this week's Build Your Team, courtesy of Toyota Racing, we are tackling this major draft debate. And it's real simple as we round out Convictions Week. What better way than to start right back at the top? Who are we picking number one in the draft this year? Scott, give us your argument first.
Look, the goal is to win your league, right? It's not to come in third, not to come in fifth. The easiest way to exponentially improve your winning chances is to have the number one overall running back. What do we have in the NFL right now? We have a dominant running back, Christian McCaffrey, who can run between the tackles, has plenty of touchdown equity, but he also catches a bunch of passes. He'll get outside the numbers. He'll be tackled by the lighter players on the defense. I know he's had a couple of down seasons with injuries. That's what you get with running back. We don't know for sure they'll play 17 games. That's why a lot of people, the hip thing now is to pick receivers. I don't want running backs the first round. I'm going zero RB. I'm going hero RB later or whatever. That's fine. You know, any strategy will work if you pick the right players. But if Christian McCaffrey even gets 15 games this year with Kyle Shanahan, with this infrastructure, you're going to wish you had him on your fantasy teams. The great news is if you can pick your slot, you might get McCaffrey at 4 or 5. But I'm prepared to punch the Christian McCaffrey button at 101 overall.
That's such an old school response from you. I'm shocked, actually. I'm just going chalk. I'm taking Justin Jefferson. You could tell me any kind of stat for Justin Jefferson this year, and I'd believe it. I mean, could he get 2,000 yards? Yeah, it's actually on the table. There's a pretty narrow passing tree there. I get Hockenson's going to dig into that a little bit, but I don't really fear Jordan Addison that much. If Kirk Cousins drops back to passing, they're going to be in a ton of shootouts because that defense isn't very good. It's always going to Justin Jefferson. He's one of those 10 targets off the bus type of guys, to use your term, Scott. And I'm not even taking Christian McCaffrey 2. That's Ja'Marr Chase for me. Even 3, and if it's a PPR, I'd probably take Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey. Look, you can't go wrong with Christian McCaffrey. Awesome player. No way I'm taking him over Justin Jefferson. I just think Justin Jefferson, the reigning NFL Offensive Player of the Year, going to eat again. And again, he could be setting some records this year. I am very comfortable with him at 1.1.
Well, there will be no surprise here that the card-carrying lead lobbyist for big receiver is going to agree with Frank here. I'm also taking Justin Jefferson, number one overall. I'll break the tie here. And obviously, elite player, great situation, as Frank said. Guy scored 8 touchdowns last year and was the number one receiver. He can actually get better in that particular column, so that is why he is my number one overall pick.
And breaking news, Matt, running back perception has just chimed in, and they're actually picking Christian McCaffrey. So now we're back to 2-2.
I haven't seen the trademark on that particular item there, but we'll look into that afterwards. So there you have it. Whether you're on the field, on the track, or building your fantasy roster, you've got to have a great team around you. That was Build Your Team. Thanks again to our friends at Toyota Racing. After the break, we conclude Convictions Week with our best bets of the 2023 season. To conclude Convictions Week here on the podcast, there's really no better way to do it than our favorite bets for the 2023 NFL season. Frank and Scott, I have asked each of you guys to compile your Andy Barron-style secret list of your top 10, you know, 8 to 10-ish, take them to the bank bets for the season. I'm going to have you guys basically ping pong back and forth. I brought nothing to the table. I just get to play traffic cop, sit back, listen, react, and just try to keep us, maybe keep us on the tracks here, but maybe, you know, push back a little bit if that's necessary. Again, I'm just going to be hanging out like the listeners for the next, 50 minutes or so, let you guys go at it. So Frank, as you are, you know, not the usual co-host here, as Scott is, I'm going to let you start this off.
You know, it's funny, the quote-unquote secret list, because me and Scott talk about this all year. So it's not really a big reveal or anything, but I am going to enjoy the debate.
It's a secret to me.
And Matt, you're not just sitting there, because I'm bringing you into this right away. I want to start with the Green Bay Packers. And I listened to you guys on a podcast. I don't know. It was probably earlier this week, maybe late last week. You guys are both lukewarm on the Packers. I'm here to tell you, I very rarely want to go against both of you guys. I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. I think the Packers are good. I think the Green Bay Packers win 10 games this year. I think they could win the NFC North. This team is set up for success. Over 7.5 was my easiest punch of the offseason so far. I think Green Bay just needs Jordan Love to be good. And everybody thinks he's bad, I think including you guys. I don't think there's a lot of optimism between you guys where you think he could be like something. Everybody's off this bandwagon. I'm surprised by Scott because he's an anti-bright, shiny toy guy. And Jordan Love just, everybody forgot he's a former first-round pick, that he came into the NFL with all this upside. Every scouting report on him was Jordan Love has all this upside. He's a flawed player. Well, what if he hits that upside? They have two great running backs. They have three receivers. I don't know about Romeo Doubs, but I really like Reed and Watson. I think we all do. Musgrave looks great right away in the preseason. This is a defense 12 months ago we thought was going to be great. Now, they were disappointing, but the talent is still there on that defense. I think LaFleur is really underrated as a coach. And I've bought up Green Bay plus 400 to win the NFC North. I've bought up over 7.5. I even might punch a Jordan Love MVP ticket at some point, just because it's like 50-1. This isn't like, I'm not saying he's going to win, but 50-1, whatever it is. I just think that, and there's one more intangible that is involved with my Packers love here. That is, if we were all sick of the Aaron Rodgers drama, don't you think the guys in that locker room were sick of the Aaron Rodgers drama?
Yeah.
Where they're having to hear about this all the time. They're overshadowed by Aaron Rodgers. I always like, and I think Scott does too, when a quarterback goes down in the regular season, the next game, I love betting on that team because they all rally around the backup. Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of a situation year long for me where they want to rally around Jordan Love. All the quotes coming out of Green Bay are, hey, we respect this guy. He's coming into work. We think this guy's good. I can see the team really rallying around Jordan Love, who's looked awesome in the preseason. I know, what does that matter, right? But he looks better than he did last preseason. I'm all about the Packers, where I think you guys are both really lukewarm on this. And I was listening in my car to you guys talk about the Packers being like, yeah, Jordan Love, whatever. I felt like getting on the phone with both of you guys and being like, you're missing out here. This is an opportunity. I think and I'm willing to die on this hill. If Jordan Love stinks and the Packers are 5-12, okay, that's in the range of possibilities. I love the Packers this year. They're my number one team I'm going to be backing compared to where the market is.
Mostly going to agree on this if the number is 7.5, because it's just not a heavy lift in a 17-game schedule. I'll push back on a couple of things just in passing. A.J. Dillon's just a guy. He's not a great running back. Aaron Jones is very good. Okay, Dillon doesn't catch passes, and he's not really the pile mover he was billed to be. The big thing, and I love all the stuff you said about Rodgers leaving, that's what the famous Ewing theory, right? That a team, Alex Rodriguez leaves the Mariners, they win 116 games the next year. You know, it helps they got a guy named Ichiro Suzuki who came in who won MVP and Rookie of the Year, but sometimes, especially when that player who gets all the attention is a little bit of a diva and maybe just a pain in the behind to everybody. I can see that people realize that. There's so many examples of this. Did the Nats win the World Series after they lost Harper, right? That's another example of that. Producer Colin points that out. So 7.5, I think, is reasonable. Here's the big thing, the defense. I thought this defense was going to be outstanding last year, ranked 20th in DVOA, which is below average. They're going to need to win the division, or for Jordan Love to, like, God forbid, get in the MVP conversation. I might try to talk you out of that ticket, Frank. I know the price is juicy.
It'll be a small.
But here's the thing. As far as 7.5, right? And remember, if you're going to punch any of these things, it's a buyer's market. Get out there, look around, shop around. If you're asking me just for the Packers to go 8-9, I can get behind that. It's not my favorite play of the year, but it's going to be an agree. We're basically going to go 2 thumbs up on the Packers over 7.5.
I was going to say, I think because Scott, you and I have talked about, like, we're a little skeptical of the Lions hype, and they're, you know, I wouldn't say like heavy favorites, but they are the favorite to win that division. I think the Vikings are getting a little disrespected in this entire thing.
I think Scott's going to talk about that.
I'm glad you said that. Well, wrap up your Packers, then I'll give you some Vikings. I'll give you some Vikings hype.
Perfect. We can go right into that, because the only other thing was I was going to agree with you, Scott, about my skepticism is almost less with Jordan Love. It's one, the youth of the offense, even if I'm with you, Frank, that some of those guys can be good. It's just a very, very young passing game. And the defense. The defense is a huge thing where they have invested a lot of first-round picks. And I like Matt LaFleur as a head coach and as an offensive designer and play caller. I actually think he can really spread his wings and shine without Aaron Rodgers, although I know that sounds counterintuitive. But he did keep Joe Barry around as a defensive coordinator, and they're like, you know, they're kind of buddies. That leads me to be skeptical.
Go get Vic Fangio. Come on. Yeah, I get it. That was a disappointment. I do agree with that. It was a disappointment. But again, the talent's there, at least. I just love the Packers. Look, there's sites out there where you can bet future games, right? Like you bet week 17, week 18. I think I've played 4 games, and all of them are on the Packers to cover because I just think the market is completely mispriced them. They're at home week 9, I believe it is, against the Rams. The Packers are -2.5. You kidding me? Mm. That's going to be like -10 by the time that game rolls around. They're underdogs against the Vikings at home in week 8. Like these lines are going to change a lot when people see, at least I hope, how good the Packers are this year.
Well, let me pivot off that. And you're right. The Rams have lookout below potential. If the Vikings are favored at Green Bay ahead, look ahead line. Even if
-1 in week 8.
Even if that's misguided, which it may be. How are the Vikings 8.5 posted? Okay, they won 13 games last year. I know they were outscored. Mm. I know the fraudulent Vikings, but when we say fraudulent, maybe they were a 10-7 team or 9-8 team or 11-5 team. You know, they outkicked their record by a couple of wins. Fine. The major pieces are here. I know the defense looks like it might be bad, but Cousins is still an above average starter. Justin Jefferson is obviously going to the moon. I think Jordan Addison for Thielen is a really nice swap. They get a full season of Hawkinson. They knew Dalvin Cook was, you know, the tread was a little thin on those tires. You're asking the Vikings just to play 500 football. And I realize, you know, 8.5, nobody wins 8.5 games. You're going to win 9 or 8 or whatever. But all I'm asking, and this is also, and Frank and I are kind of, I don't know, Frank didn't say this, but it's implied. If I'm going to say I shade over on Green Bay and I shade over on Minnesota, Detroit's in the opening Thursday night game. They didn't make the playoffs last year. I know they kind of got screwed the final week and everything, but let's just slow down with the Lions, man. I think they're a competitive. I also think Dan Campbell's going to be a guy who's going to be a good coach until he's not, and will never have another head coaching job in the NFL. He'll be just a really peppy, rally the guys coordinator or maybe even position coach for the rest of his career. I like Dan Campbell, but I don't think what he's selling is a long-term sustainable business model. How many times, Frank, do you remember without some kind of gigantic change to the roster, has a team, has their over-under shifted by 4.5 games for the following season? What did the Vikings do wrong? All they did is they got a little bit lucky last year. It wasn't 4.5 games lucky. Punch the Vikings over 8.5.
I'm with you on that. I think that we all want to get out in front of regression, right? But the regression police sometimes go too far.
For sure.
And I think that this is one. I mean, we all know that they were outscored. We all know DVOA, they were 23rd or whatever. And I just, it is a skill to win 13 NFL games in a regular season. Like it is, you don't just get off the bus and do that and get lucky. Like, yeah, were they, like you said, were they more of a probably 10-win, 9-win quality team? Yeah, probably. But what's changed, really? I mean, Kirk is, I think he's going to be pretty good again this year. Like, he's just going to be Kirk Cousins. You know, I mean, they didn't have a great offseason. It could have been better. They had a lot of salary cap issues that forced them, like, you know, Za'Darius Smith has to just be given away to the Browns and all that kind of stuff. Dalvin just cut without getting anything back. So I worry about that a little bit. But I think, yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. Let me ask you this. If you're just saying the odds are all the same, we're not talking about odds. Who are you picking to win that division? I probably pick the Lions. I do like them. I think they finished last season well. Have you made any NFC North bets though? Because I think the Lions hype has led to some value elsewhere. I'm on the Packers plus 400. Have you taken the Vikings, Packers, or even the Bears? I guess.
I've sprinkled some Viking stuff, and that's another thing. Pro Vikings or pro Packers, just this division is so underwhelming. You feel like you have a chance to win any road game in the division. Absolutely. And they're in the right conference. The AFC is so much better than the NFC. This is where you want to hang out. The NFC is the easier place to be.
And, you know, I'm just going to segue right into the Bears because my second team that I've really planted a flag on is the Bears under. Mm-hmm. They were a 3-14 team last year. Okay. They're over under right now, 7.5. Where are these 5 wins coming from?
Wow.
They're an 8-9 team. Look, with every bet you make, and I think, Scott, you agree with this, that you know the downside. I know how I could lose this bet. And it's that Justin Fields goes to the moon. He becomes Jalen Hurts, top 3 quarterback in the NFL. That's perfectly within the realm of possibility. But as Aaron Schatz has pointed out, nobody has really gone from as bad as Justin Fields is as a passer to good. Like, I like Fields. I'm a fan of his, but I got to see it first. And yes, they made some improvements in the offseason. Obviously, DJ Moore, a huge upgrade at wide receiver one. But what else did they do? They signed a couple off-ball linebackers? Okay, like that's not really moving the needle much for me in the 2023 NFL. I don't know where the 5 wins come from for the Bears to hit 8-9 and go over that total of 7.5. Packers over Bears under they're the top 2 plays on my list. I'm really involved in that week 1 game where the Packers play at the Bears. I already taken the Packers +3 in that one too, and the money line. Where are you on the Bears? Am I totally wrong? Am I missing the boat here somewhere? Because I look at that Bears team and I'm like, I think a good solid growth season for them is 6-7 wins, and that still doesn't get them over the over.
Yeah, I agree with you. Although to some degree, it also feels a little bit like a circular argument. If we're going to promote the Vikings and the Packers, and even you said, you know, gun to head, if you had to pick a winner of the division, it's going to be the Lions. Well, just by filtering all those games through, that means the Bears are losing a lot of football games. I know their style is completely different, but I will say one quarterback who dramatically improved, actually a couple of guys, John Elway was horrible his rookie year and then got better. And if you look at all the efficiency stats of Josh Allen his first year, you think, man, this guy just can't throw at all. That said, I've never watched Justin Fields and thought, oh, yeah, this is the next Elway. This is the next Josh Allen. I think Justin Fields is an interesting player. And he, of course, was a really good passer of the football at Ohio State. Maybe it just helps. We have to mention Ohio State wideouts. Man, it's just what a conveyor belt that team is.
Oh, my God. They're good. Yeah, like, it's just so like, much fun. How does that even happen?
Yeah. I say it as a Michigan guy, but, man, they just make highlight film catch after highlight film catch. It's hard to watch. I'm still not sure if I want Jim Harbaugh to stay or not. What a weird situation that is. But I agree with you. If we're going to be high on the Packers or promoting the Packers over their number, if we think Minnesota, and again, you know, where did Minnesota's wins, where did they get filtered from 13 down to 8.5? That's part of all this optimism in the Bears. And, you know, Chicago's just one of those teams. They have Subway alumni. Bears fans are everywhere and they travel. And I just wonder if maybe you just get a public number on them that is going to be optimistic. One of my friends who's a professional gambler came to me last year. He said, I'm going to bury the Bears under. Tell me how I'm wrong. And I think I actually gave him a little bit of lukewarm response to his play, but he still put it in. And I don't think he was ever thinking he was going to lose that bet. So I'm with you. Keeping with the middle of the country bias. Okay. And we're not going to, you want some disagreement? Because we've pretty much agreed on everything so far. This one we will disagree on. I think so anyway. The Cleveland Browns are posted at 9.5. This team, roster's changing the NFL. Okay. But Cleveland's had one winning record in 15 seasons. And now you're telling me after a mediocre season last year, all of a sudden they're going to win 9.5 games. The X factor here, it's not even an X factor. The obvious thing, you can't talk about the Browns without talking about Deshaun Watson off the suspension. You know, he's a polarizing guy, of course. And I get it. If you don't want to draft him in fantasy, you don't have to. It's totally your choice. But he was set up to fail last year. You know, dropped into the final quarter of the season, plays horribly. And my whole thought into the beginning of the offseason is, we'll go, Deshaun Watson can't be that bad. They're going to coach him up. He'll be around. He'll take reps and everything. And now I'm watching him play, and I'm like, where's the good Deshaun Watson? When does that guy come out? And he's got pieces, man. He's got Nick Chubb. He's got in the backfield, who I'll talk about probably a little bit later. Amari Cooper's really good. They're talking up Moore as a breakout guy. I've always thought David Njoku was a really good tight end. The offensive line looks decent.
Great offensive line, yeah. I think you're top five offensive.
But, man, you're telling me if I bet the under, the Browns could go 9-8, which they'd probably throw a parade in Cleveland if that happened, and I still win the bet, man. I have to go under on this. And, I know – that the failure of the team 8 years ago doesn't reflect on the team now. But when has betting under on the Browns ever steered you wrong? I'm doing it again.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I'm not taking the under. I don't want to fade this team because here's – and look, I always put out this caveat. Anytime I talk about Deshaun Watson.
I also got to say what producer Colin just mentioned. I meant just say up front, Steelers are damn good. The Ravens are damn good.
They
and
are.
The Bengals might be the second best roster in the AFC.
This is the
wrong place to hang out, man.
Yeah, I get it. The caveat I always put out is I'm not rooting for Deshaun Watson here. Nobody is. Like, he's really unlikable, right? But we're talking football. We're talking bets.
Sure.
Deshaun Watson was in an absolutely unwinnable situation last year.
For sure.
He a new coach, new teammates. That offseason, like, he brought it all on himself. I'm not feeling sorry for him, but that offseason made it impossible for him to really focus on football. He joins a team 11 games after his 11-game suspension's over, plays in some cold weather games. He's jumping on the train when it's already going 100 miles an hour. It was impossible for him to succeed, and he didn't. He was bad. Now, I will say that the camp reports about how their passing offense is struggling really worry me. I was high on Deshaun Watson as like a fantasy sleeper. I'm not really there anymore. I guess you're the same with that, Scott. Are you worried about these camp reports about Watson and that passing offense?
Here's my rule of thumb with camp reports. Be extremely skeptical when they say good things and believe them when they say bad things.
Yeah. I think that's fair. So I'm not necessarily a disagreement. I could see that path, but man, when I do these team previews, I do all summer, I really spend a day on each team and you really dig down. And by the end of it, I was like, man, the Browns are good. They have a lot of things I really like, as long as Watson is a good quarterback, which he has been going a little bit back to Clemson. I mean, again, not a likable guy. I'm not rooting for him, but he has been. So if you think Watson is just a guy from here on out, yeah, take the under. Because, again, the Steelers looked great this preseason, and I'm buying.
Who are they better than in the division? How can you bet on a team over 9.5 if you don't feel like they're at least better than a couple of teams in their division? Nobody thinks they're better than Cincinnati. Nobody thinks they're better than Baltimore.
I think they might be better than Baltimore. I really do. I think if they're top, they can be better than Baltimore. Yes, because I'm not yet convinced, and it's why I haven't done anything on Baltimore. I have no Baltimore shares. I know
you
did.
Once you saw Baltimore lose a preseason game, you said, okay, the Ravens are going down the toilet, man.
The dynasty's over.
John Harbaugh magic is over. If he can't win, if this guy can't win in August, how is he going to win when the games really count?
I just wonder how this whole pass more, run less offense fits Lamar Jackson. And I think these two things could be true at the same time. Todd Monken's a great offensive coordinator. Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback. Do I know for sure that this is going to fit together as well as we think? It might. It truly might. That's why I just don't have any Ravens futures whatsoever. But I think the Browns at their top end could be I think they could compete with the Bengals for that division. The roster's really, really good. That's why I'm not taking any Browns unders. Not necessarily a disagreement with you, but more of a, I don't agree, if that makes sense. I'm not going to be on this bandwagon.
Let me duck in one quick additional thing in the Browns, and I'll give Matt the floor, and he can tell us how we're wrong about all this. betting the favorite never feels right with props and stuff like that, but you can get around plus 500, maybe better, for Nick Chubb to win the rushing title.
Yeah, he was one of the
No Kareem Hunt, no Dearness Johnson, who I think is a good player. We talked about the offensive line. Nick Chubb is just 5 yards a pop. I mean, he's I love this guy, man. Remember his rookie year when he got like 2 carries? He busted him for long runs against the Raiders. Like, oh, Nick Chubb, here we go. And then the next week he got like 3 or 4 touches. I mean, it took a long time for them to really steer into Chubb, but I still think he's in the prime of his career. And in some fantasy leagues, you can get, he's a first round pick who sometimes goes into the second round because people don't want to draft running backs anymore in fantasy. And I get it. They get hurt more often. And we're in this golden age of passing receivers. Kelsey's percolated into the first round, but I want you, dear listener, to have some investment in Nick Chubb. It's a fantasy investment. Absolutely. It's a prop. It's DFS, whatever. Nick Chubb is somebody, it may sound counterintuitive because I threw cold water on the Browns, but I'm throwing hot water on Nick Chubb.
Yeah, if you shop around, you can get Chubb, I think, still 6-1 to win the rushing title. And I got that ticket. I think the runway is clear for him. I don't like betting the favorites in those markets. But yeah, Chubb's going to win rushing title this year. I'd be shocked if he doesn't, honestly.
Well, our buddy Andy Behrens has made Yahoo the hardest place to draft Nick Chubb in the second round because he has him ranked, I think, as his second overall player. So, from a consensus ADP perspective, the hardest place to draft Nick Chubb is on Yahoo. I have 3 problems with the Browns. Number one, Scott, as you know this, and Frank, I'm sure you've heard if you've listened to the podcast, I have fully bought in on the Steelers offense taking a leap this year because of all the talent they have. I think their defense might be weirdly the most underrated unit in the entire NFL. Like, now they'll have TJ Watt healthy for an entire season, and Mike Tomlin wins, he goes over 500 every single year. And I think they're a much better team than they were last year. I think as long as Matt Canada cooperates, that's my biggest problem, is that I think coming into this offseason, I probably would have sat here and said, yeah, Steelers are the worst team in the division. But I'm not sure that I believe that anymore. And then my 2 Browns-based problems, I think the camp reports with Watson are one thing, but Frank, I've talked a lot about, I think that the way Kevin Stefanski designs offenses is really good, but it also kind of Baker Mayfield's been the best quarterback they've had, and it's only because they put Baker in this box, right? When it's play within the structure of the offense and this can be a good unit. And for all of Deshaun's good things on the field as a player in Houston, he just was never that guy. So is there a little bit of an oil and water thing here? And then the last part, we've brought up a lot of teams, and the Bears are certainly one. How much is their defense going to get better? We talked about with the Packers. Cleveland sort of, fits into this bucket too. They were 25th last year in EPA per play allowed on defense, and dead last, 32nd in EPA per rush allowed. And I know they bring in Jim Schwartz. They make a few moves there along the offensive line.
I think that's the thing.
If you're buying in on the Browns and they're over, I do think it's beyond the Watson part is obvious, but I think you have to buy into that defensive transition as well.
I do. And I just think Schwartz is such an upgrade for them. I just think they were a mess last year. The talent's there. They're going to have dudes that really, Grant Delpit is going to be a star in this Jim Schwartz defense. And Myles Garrett might win Defensive Player of the Year. And they've, Za'Darius Smith, they got for a song. I do buy into the Browns defense being a lot better. But look, it's hard in that division. Somebody in that division is going to go 8-9 just because of who you play. And
yeah, it's Cleveland. unless they go 7-10, I got to pivot here since since Matt mentioned the Steelers, I just have them on my list somewhere. I just want to mention them now. Find whatever part of the passing game that tickles you and bet over. Kenny Pickett is going to have a major upgrade in touchdown passes. We know Deontay Johnson's not going to have a zero again. Just tell him every play is a 2-point conversion, because he did have two-point conversion catches last year. I think Pickens might go to the moon. I think Freiermuth, who I know is Matt's number one tight end. Yeah. So,
Me too. I'm gonna have
Steelers props. So I think we're all gonna get together and high five on this one. We're all for the Pittsburgh passing game. There's fun stuff here for fantasy. There's fun stuff here for props. Shop around. And again, it's dealer's choice. You may be a Freiermuth guy. You may be a Pickens guy. You may be a Deontay guy. I think Pickett is the safest way maybe to mix all those guys together, because Pickett's going to throw like 24 touchdown passes. Yeah. Forget last year. It was all about learning how to play, not being overwhelmed, keeping your poise. And he played pretty darn well at the last quarter of the season. And he's helped by guys. And everybody's on the escalator. Second year for Pickett, second year for Pickett, third year for Freiermuth. Deontay's still fairly young. Yeah, man. I know Matt Canada is a hard guy to trust, but the Steelers, and you have the Tomlin coaching infrastructure as well. So I want you to bet something on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I want it to be an over.
Frank, you said that Jordan Love, you've sprinkled some MVP plus 5,000. I think the MVP is usually a quarterback at this point.
JJ Watt. Yeah, unfortunately, it is Scott. You know,
it's a quarterback. It's usually from a team that, you know, is one of the best in the conference, like a number one seed. I think it's historically it's been that quarterback.
Yep.
You know, younger guy, maybe. You want to sprinkle on Jordan Love? Any interest in sprinkling MVP on Kenny Pickett at plus 5,000, same odds as Jordan Love? Or am I fully getting way too drunk on the Matt Canada sauce?
Yeah, the Matt Canada thing is not something to yada yada, right? Like,
here's the problem with that. I can tell you not to punch that ticket really simply, because I love how you outlined, Matt. The MVP will be a quarterback. It will be from a team.
Playoff team.
That is. See, the problem is you have to probably be like the number one or number two seed. You have to win like 12 or 13 games. I don't think the Steelers have them in them. But with Frank and I, we've been doing some roundtable betting pieces on Yahoo, and we both liked Jalen Hurts at plus 1,100. Stay in Pennsylvania. Stay at the quarterback position. Look at the boxes it checks, right? The Eagles may have the best 1-53 roster in the league. Hurts is playing with all these toys. You have Brown and Smith and Goddard. He's going to run for a bunch of touchdowns. And the other part of MVP, not only do you have to play quarterback, but you need the narrative, right? You need a team. End of the year might say, hey, we just went 14-3. I should go back to 16 games and dunked on the NFL. The Eagles might do that. Now, the Eagles schedule is kind of funky because it's pretty easy for about 9 or 10 weeks. They take their bye and then they play like every good team in the NFL for like the next 5 weeks. It's really, really hard. But I think they might go into that part of the schedule 8-2 or 9-1. If the Eagles are the number one seed in the NFC, Mahomes will have to clearly win the MVP and beat everybody, because there's a little bit of Mahomes fatigue because he's won it already twice. So if like he and Hurts are neck and neck, people say, well, it's Jalen Hurts' turn. You know, Jackson had his year and Mahomes has won it before. Or maybe if Josh Allen is in the running, it's Josh Allen's year. But it's harder to be the best team, the number one team in the AFC.
No,
the Eagles. The Eagles have a great chance to be that number one seed in the NFC. Quarterback, Hurts, young player, all the pieces around him. And we saw plus 1,100. I think that's actually – a lot of times these MVP prices are bad. I think that's actually a really good number.
I love it. Yep. I do, because the narrative is, whose turn is it? Even late last season, this drove me absolutely insane. People were like, Jalen Hurts is really the MVP. I'm like, Patrick Mahomes just lost Tyreek Hill and he's going to put up $5,000 and 41 touchdowns. What are we talking about? There's not a person on planet Earth who thinks the Eagles would be worse off if Patrick Mahomes was their quarterback. But why are we going to vote Jalen Hurts MVP? But the narrative, and I think it is his turn. And as I've kind of chatted to Philly fans a little bit, you already saw this once. Joel Embiid won his MVP. He wasn't better than Jokic, but he won it because it was his turn.
Right.
I could totally see Hurts getting that. The other MVP bet I've made, the two others I've made, actually. I haven't made the Jordan Love one yet. You guys can still talk me out of that one. But I have punched a ticket on Hurts for sure. Trevor Lawrence, who I think is going to the moon this year. I love Trevor Lawrence. And we're going to talk about Jaguars in a little bit. And Geno Smith. Because I think we can get the Seahawks a little bit too. I have so many best bets here. We can't contain us to an hour. I think Geno Smith, the odds are just there. I think the Seahawks, I've already punched the Seahawks win that division. And I think if you're a division winner and you beat out the 49ers and he has all these toys to play with, I don't think Geno's a fluke, as you talked about. I think the odds are just good for him. And it was a smaller bet. The two main guys I have are Hurts Ed Lawrence. The one thing I do want to get to, because it is very rare for me and Scott to really truly disagree on something. Usually I could be, we're like, I can see your point, whatever. I think we're at really opposite ends with the Tennessee Titans. The Titans might be my number three team I'm fading. I do not like the Titans this year. I think what we saw at the end of last year is what the Titans are going to be. They lost 7 in a row. They were really bad. I get injuries. They had a ton of injuries. But they went into the offseason. They're like, hey, if you want Tannehill and Henry, they're available. Nobody really stepped up to that, so they kept them. And then they added DeAndre Hopkins. But DeAndre Hopkins is 31 years old. I don't know that he's transforming what I thought was the worst receiver room in the NFL. I think they're a little bit better than that, but their offensive lines are worse than the NFL. I don't think this defense is great. The only reason, and I know you like the over on the Titans, Scott, and I'm interested, is it just a Mike Vrabel play? And I would actually respect that because I love Mike Vrabel, but this roster is just not good in my eyes.
League average defense last year. Tannehill, most of his efficiency metrics were above the league average, but he only played 12 games. They were 6-6 in the Tannehill games. They only won one game when he didn't start. So Tannehill being a pocket quarterback primarily, I would think you have to assume he'll play a full season. I don't like the receiving room either. I thought it was the wrong time to get Hopkins. Burks has had kind of a sketchy offseason. Now he's hurt. I want them to put Chigo Conquo, who I'm dying. I wrote him up as a fantasy sleeper today. I know he can't block. I don't care. They need playmakers downfield. They had a stretch last year where three straight weeks he had one long catch for like 38, 41, 40 yards. It's like, yeah, there's a guy I'd play a little bit more, especially when I look at the receivers that you're trotting out there. Make him a receiver. It's like, you know, the Portland Trailblazers need a center. We'll play Jordan at center. Draft him. You know, I don't care. You already have Clyde Drexler. Yeah, right. You know, play Chigo Conquo wherever you need him, man. Make him a receiver. Fine with me. And yes, is it partially a blind bet on Vrabel? Yes, but the NFL is no sport. Does coaching matter and move the needle than it does in the NFL? And also this division, right? I mean, the Colts, they're starting over. Rookie quarterback. Yeah. I know the Jaguars stole the division last year, but this is still a weak division to me, and I think Vrabel's going to will these guys to 8-9, 9-8. You know, the number is low enough that over. Yeah. You're telling me I can have a losing season with Mike Vrabel and still go to the window and cash the ticket? That sounds good to me.
That's fair. I just think I really worry that they're just going to be like 5-12. I mean, we're going to get to Thanksgiving and are going to be like, well, we got to give Will Levis a shot. Like, why not? Like, I mean, Tannehill's not our future. We need to see what we have. I just don't have any, and I love Derrick Henry. He's probably my favorite running back in the league since Barry Sanders, but the miles on his tires are, man, at some point it's got to catch up to him. And I know we say that every year, right? That's kind of the, oh, don't look at all the carries of Derrick Henry. He's a freak. I get that. But I could see this going really, really bad for them. Although I do like Tajay Spears.
Their schedule is very manageable, man. They don't have, it is. That's the thing. They play a lot of good teams. They don't play anybody great. They play a lot of games against Carolina. They play the NFC South, which is the division you want, right? Because every one of those games is winnable for them. You're wrong on this one. I don't say that very often, man. You're wrong on this one.
I might just be. I heard Evan Silva use the term take lock, and I dug in against the Titans in May or whatever, and I just can't let it go. I do respect Vrabel, but I just think this team's going to be bad. And kind of transitioning, one of my favorite, like, under the radar type of bets is for the Jaguars to have the most wins in the NFL this year. You're getting a really good number on that. And this almost reminds me of the Titans a couple of years ago when they weren't the best team in football by any means, but they got the number one seed in the AFC because they played in that horrible division. I think the Jaguars, again, this is my Titans bias here. I think the Jaguars win this division by 3, 4, 5 games. I just think they blow everybody out of the water. I have, again, Lawrence for MVP because I think he's going to the moon this year. I have the over on the Jaguars win total. And I am going to punch a ticket on the Jaguars to have the most wins in the NFL this year. Not because I think they're going to be the best team, but because their schedule is so manageable that I think they're going to walk off the bus and go 5-1 in that division. Am I crazy on my Jaguars love? I thought they were just so good at the end of last year. And this Trevor Lawrence trip is taking off soon. Get on it right now.
Yes, I love the schedule and I love Lawrence. But man, that defense, 26th in DVOA last year, that's what makes me nervous. It makes it a no play for me. I'll give the floor to Matt.
No, yeah, I think they have to outscore people. I'm with you. Like, they either need to just outscore people consistently or they need Trayvon Walker to take a massive step. Because he's showed flashes of being like a solid player, but you don't take a guy number one overall and have them be a solid player.
God, how did they not draft Hutchinson? What were they doing?
Oh, I know.
Trades-based pick, baby. Trades-based. That's Trent Baalke's move, man. I mean, and that remains the bit, like, because some of their bit guys that they got big moments out of, ironically, Arden Key, who's on the Tennessee Titans, who we just talked about. I think Tennessee's defense, if they stay healthy, is underrated. That gets me paused a little bit about being more on Scott's side with the Titans here than, although the offensive line is, that could be a stone cold disaster.
Number 32. That could be I don't think any of us disagree with that.
Yeah, that's a huge problem for Tennessee. But I think defensively, if that unit stays healthy, and they do get banged up all the time, and that might be like a feature, not a bug, of the Mike Vrabel way of like pushing these guys to the limit, that could just be consistently an issue there. But, you know, they sign Arden Key, right? Harold Landry's back in the mix this year. Their pass rush might be, Jeffrey Simmons, very underrated. I think Tier Tart, the defensive tackle next to him, is like a big plugger. He's underrated. Like, this defensive line could be very good this year. And then flipping it to Jacksonville, that I think is a huge problem for them, is that Josh Allen is the only, the Jaguars, Josh Allen is the only consistent disruptor that they're bringing back this year.
Yeah, I get that. But I don't know. Defense isn't sticky from year to year. Teams improve all the time. The Jets were the worst defense in football 2 years ago and one of the top three last year.
Well, of course, you point to why, though. I mean, they drafted two absolute monsters.
No, Quinn Williams had his breakout season. But, like, I mean, they do have Tyson Campbell's a good cornerback, and they do have some youth at linebacker. I just don't think they're going to be terrible on defense. I think they're going to be middle of the road, and I just think this offense, I can't get enough of Calvin Ridley. Like, I know he's just shooting up draft boards, and I can't get him anymore because he's going to be getting too expensive, but I might have some props on Calvin Ridley because I just think he's going to have a huge year. Can we transition to the NFC West? Because when I was on with Matt,
you're ready to do it, dude. You're ready. Let's go.
Go West. Go West, man.
And I'm not going to talk about the Rams or the Cardinals because they're terrible.
I will not. I'm off the show if you talk Cardinals. I'm just going to disconnect.
Please.
Unless it's under. You want to talk under. Has any team ever won negative games?
Yeah.
Four and a half wins. You know what? Is the over under.
I got them at 5.5 like 3 months ago. Actually, if they win six, God bless you, Jonathan Gannon, your coach of the year.
Breaking news. Caleb Williams has said he will not play for the Arizona. And I'm making that up that he didn't say that. But he should. He should say that.
He should.
I think he kind of, I feel like he kind of implied it in this news story recently where he was like, I might not come out. I might go back to school. Right. Yeah, I think he kind of implied it a little bit.
But here's the other breaking news. Have the Arizona Cardinals joined the ACC? Is that going to happen? Is that news correct?
I don't know, Scott, said you would leave the podcast if you talked Cardinals, and you just broke two Cardinal stories in the last like 60 seconds.
So I'll get us back on the track here, because when I was on with Matt a month, two months ago, and I kind of came up with this crazy, the 49ers might not be as good as everybody thinks. And I've kind of stuck with that. I get Brock Purdy is back. Why are we so convinced Brock Purdy is Joe Montana after five games? Like, nobody wants to give Jordan Love any flowers, but everybody's like, oh, Brock Purdy's healthy. Of course, the 49ers are going to be awesome. He's going to throw for 40 touchdowns. He's played five games. Like, come on. Like, I just worry. First of all, the Trey Lance deal has ramifications. They gave up three firsts and a third. They had nothing in the draft this year. Zero. Like, they are getting nothing out of their draft class this year. Even their kicker, they drafted Jake Moody, has been missing kicks. Their offseason, I thought, was bad. Yeah, they added Hargrave, but they also lost a lot of key players, McGlinchey. I think a huge loss for them is D'Amico Ryans. I love D'Amico Ryans as a coach. Mm-hmm. I am buying all the stock I can in him. And that's nothing against Steve Wilks. He's a good coach, too. But it's just a change. And I went through just the last 4 years, not a high sample size, but each of the last 4 years in the consensus power rankings, one of those top five teams has missed the playoffs. We all sit here on August 24th and say, there's no way the 49ers can miss the playoffs. But we said that last year about the Packers and the Rams. Top five teams have missed the playoffs. Said about the Buccaneers, who went 8-9, didn't deserve to make the playoffs. Some team we think is really, really good is going to miss the playoffs this year. It's hard to be out on that limb and say, I think the 49ers might miss the playoffs. But I will say, I have punched that ticket. It's like plus 400 now for the 49ers to miss the playoffs. I definitely have punched the Seahawks to win the NFC West ticket. I think the Seahawks are an ascending team. You add JSN, another great draft class to go with last year's great draft class. You bring Bobby Wagner back, who was awesome last year, number one Pro Football Focus linebacker. They've added to the defense. Their offense is going to be, we all sit here and talk. I listen to you all the time, Matt and Scott, when he's on or whoever's on. Every show, at some point, somebody's talking about how great the Seahawks offense is going to be. Well, this is actionable in the betting market too, I think. I have the Seahawks win the NFC West. I'm very low on the 49ers to start the year. Why am I crazy, Scott? Am I completely off the rails here and thinking the 49ers are going to be this year's
decision? Not at all. You're not crazy. The Seahawks are the West Coast Steelers without the same pub, right? You know, Mike Tomlin never has losing seasons, okay? Look at Pete Carroll's record, okay? Since they first got good, they've had one losing season out of 11 seasons, one losing season. They went 7-10 the last year when Russell Wilson kind of lost his way and then ended up getting hurt, okay? Totally excused absence. And even that year, they outscored their opponents, so they probably should have had a winning record. They have positive – they haven't had a negative point differential in 2010. Matt Hasselbeck, Marshawn Lynch. So that's going back a ways. They're – I think actually, you know, Seattle, this is a I've been blind to this prop because I've just been focused on some other teams, maybe a little bit of middle of the country bias. But as soon as we end the show, I'm going to go punch up some Seattle stuff. The thing that we've been talking about all summer, and I love, you know, Matt and I come from this from different perspectives because he's in the weeds with the reception perception. He's charting all this stuff and my process is different. But when Matt and I come to the same conclusion on a guy and it's like draft Tyler Lockett. And this is one of the fun things in fantasy, the arbitrage.
That's why he's 40. That's why he's 40 ADP spots higher than every other site, as you guys talked about.
We're ruining it.
Yesterday.
We're ruining that. Yeah.
And I'm going to ruin another. There's one receiver who I love, who's like my favorite pick. And by the time my drafts come up, I'm never going to get him because I keep talking about him. We'll get to that a little bit later. You guys probably know who it is already. But all the Tyler Lockett. Pete Carroll's a Hall of Famer, man. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
He is. It's crazy.
He's the Tomlin without the Tomlin hype. Not that people don't think Pete Carroll is a good coach, but when Mike Tomlin pulled that rabbit out of the hat last year, people could not stop jumping up and down about it. Where's the love for Pete Carroll? He was handed, he was left to die with Geno Smith and Drew Lock. Well, Geno Smith ended up being comeback player of the year, pro bowler, and now he's, you know, as we think, a sleeper MVP candidate. They do so many things.
And Pete Carroll was supposedly the villain in the Russell Wilson, you know, versus Pete Carroll thing at this point last year. Yeah.
Well, maybe Brady won the breakup. Brady won the breakup with the Patriots, but I think Pete Carroll is going to win the breakup with the Seahawks.
Oh, sure. Has Pete Carroll ever won Coach of the Year? Because I know Mike Tomlin has not. Ooh. And I would pose it. I'm looking at it.
Coach of the Year sucks so much. It's such a
I know it's a stupid award.
Mike Krzyzewski didn't win ACC Coach of the Year after 2001. Like, Jeff Pastor won ACC Basketball Coach of the Year.
If the right guy
more
won,
recently to Mike Krzyzewski.
If the right guy won, Belichick would have like five of them. It doesn't work that way.
The best coach never wins.
Has John Harbaugh never won it either?
I think he has, actually.
Did he win it?
Maybe not.
I bring these two guys up is Harbaugh because I think that they could fit into the bucket of like teams that people are kind of sort of down. I mean, I think people are sort of in on the Seahawks, but again, it's still like maybe that Pete gets the residual from last year, right? It's like, oh, you know, he coaches the team up around Geno Smith. He wins that transition. You know, he gets it in year two instead of year one of that. And then Tomlin, if they outkick expectations there, I think those are two guys that they're actually like, I agree with you, Scott, legitimately good NFL coaches, not like, oh, Matt Nagy made the Bears passable instead of absolute garbage.
And Stefanski, the award. Jason Garrett,
Kevin Stefanski,
Dick Turon, Jim Haslett.
Yeah, there's some,
you know, remember betting against Jim Wayne Fonts, you know, the story with Fonts was always like, how does he never get fired? But he's coach of the year in 1991.
My real quick plug for this, because it's a crazy, like, if you can figure out the narrative and where it's going in coach of the year, you can cash some huge tickets. Like Daboll is like 30-40-1 at one point last year, and he cashed. And Matt LaFleur right now is odds have gone down. I grabbed him at 30-1 because if I'm right about the Packers, then what's the narrative going to be on the Packers? It's going to be,
love that.
Oh, let's relook at Matt LaFleur's record, which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And nobody gives him any credit for. They're going to say, maybe it wasn't all Aaron Rodgers. Maybe this guy's actually a good coach.
Yeah,
if they win the NFC North as a 4-1 underdog with Jordan Love as quarterback, people are going to be throw Matt LaFleur his flowers. And the odds are great. Like, you can see the narrative coming here. Where
I love that. You're saying the right word over and over again, which is narrative. That's how coach of the year goes. They're not trying to identify who would be the best coach if everybody was thrown into a bucket. We redrafted them. It's what team surprised us, what team didn't seem to have the pieces and overachieved. This pivots to a bet I like. There's a lot of hype on the Jets. If you believe in that hype, and I don't know if I do or not, but there's two bets I like. I think Garrett Wilson's going to the moon. You want to bet any of his over props? He's 1,800 to lead the league in receiving yards. You ever seen Aaron Rodgers focus on one great receiver? Have you ever seen that before? He's going to pump the ball to Wilson off the bus. He's going to get 170 targets. There's 160 targets or something crazy. He's going to break reception perception. And if you think the Jets are going to win that division, they're actually not the longest, with 2.5, 3-1, something like that, to win the AFC East. If you think that's going to happen, take Robert Saleh at +1,600 to win Coach of the Year.
I can see it. But I think it's going to be the same thing where everybody's just going to say, well, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's the coach Rogers, has nothing to do with it. Look at Mike McCarthy. Like,
they could cannibalize each other. That's a fair point.
Yeah. Well, and not that I want to stand on a table for Mike McCarthy, but you look at his record, and his record's really good, and he has zero credit in his career for any of it because everybody just says, that's Aaron Rodgers. He didn't have anything to do with it. It's Matt LaFleur had nothing to do with that. It's all Aaron Rodgers. So I can see the same thing happening with Salah, but I do like that. Real quick, let's get the Super Bowl bets because I actually made two. I made the Jets before they got Rodgers, anticipating a line move. I got them at a good number. Only other one I've made is the Bills. And when I really dug down in the previews, I said the Bills are much better than anybody remembers. We all remember them getting blown out by the Bengals, right? Like that's a confirm or the recency bias there. The Buffalo Bills last year lost three games by 8 points combined. They didn't lose a game by more than 3 points all season. They could have won easily each of those games. They could have easily won. The Bills were a lot closer to 16-0 than we realize. And we just forget about them because they got blown out in the playoffs, obviously. But you wonder, look, I don't like making the DeMar Hamlin thing like some handicapping like angle, but their emotional tank was on empty by the time the playoffs rolled around. Totally. And also, nobody likes talking about this, but they kind of got really jobbed out of a chance to get the number one seed.
Frank,
they win Josh that game against the Bengals, they're number one seed. Not
Josh Allen was hurt the entire second half.
Correct, with the elbow issue. So all this, if you like the Bills 12 months ago, which I certainly did, I had a lot of Bills Super Bowl tickets. Yep. You should like them even more now because they're much better odds. I think it was 7-1 last year, they're 9-1 this year. And I look and, you know, DVOA, I talk about DVOA a lot because I do like that metric. There was only one team in the top 12 in the NFL in offense, defense, and special teams. The Bills were in the top four in all three of those phases. Mm-hmm. They're a really balanced, well-coached team, great quarterback. Do I love the Stephon Diggs drama? Not really. But I think everything else lines up with the Bills. We're all shiny new toys, the Jets, right? Or even the Dolphins. We're talking about the Dolphins a lot. Or the Bengals or whoever you want. Whereas the Bills were a lot better than we remember.
Or the Jaguars.
They were elite last year. Right.
A lot of shiny toys in the AFC. The AFC is really hard.
It's really hard. So that's what made the AFC East is really hard. So it makes it tough to punch that ticket, but I have. That's the only Super Bowl bet I've made is on the Bills. Have you made any Super Bowl bets, Scott, that you could maybe share here?
Yeah, I have some Eagles stuff. It wasn't the greatest price in the world, but I just think they have the best roster in football. But, you know, coming back to the Bills, it's like the – not that they were necessarily the AFC favorite, but going back to my horse racing days, used to love – betting on beaten favorites when you come back to them the next, you know, they had an excuse with their trip. The price was better the next season. And that's what you're getting. You're getting basically a Bills roster that's at least as good as last year, maybe better. If I like some of the pieces that they've added. And if you're going to tell me Allen's healthy all season, because he was not, this is not getting enough play. His elbow was barking the whole second half of the year. And that Bengals loss, this is another thing too. What happens when everybody's watching, right? They lose a home game to Cincinnati and get embarrassed, right? I mean, we love betting on embarrassed teams in season, but maybe it's good to bet an embarrassed team coming back for the next year. You're getting so much value here for a team. We could easily be saying, I can just see you in the power ranking saying, you know, how did we not see that Buffalo had the best roster in football and here they are 8-1 or something like that? Yeah, so what? The AFC has all good teams. Nobody's going to look you square in the eye and say that Buffalo isn't the best team on paper in that division.
Yeah, and they get Von Miller back, too. They didn't have Von in the second half. He got hurt on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I think the Bills are just the post-hype sleeper, to use a fantasy term.
Yep,
and I'm all about the Bills for the Super Bowl this year as far as my bets go.
Bills are my Super Bowl pick as well, Frank. People also don't talk about the fact that not only did they lose Von Miller, but Greg Rousseau, who's having a nice year, also got injured high ankle sprain right at the same time. And I agree that team both physically and emotionally ran out of gas by the end of the year. I mean, simply having Josh Allen healthy, you sprinkle in Dalton Kincaid, you sprinkle in like Deonte Hardy, these guys that they added. I think the offense is going to be better and more consistent. Second year with a new play caller in Ken Dorsey. Like Dorsey was taking over a lot last year for a team that like Brian Daboll was such a key factor for them. And then he leaves. I think year two with Ken Dorsey and Josh Allen kind of working together is going to be big. So that's a pretty good harmonious end note to end on there is that we are both picking the Bills here for the Super Bowl. Well, that is going to do it for us. Shout out to the Betting Bros reuniting here. Frank Schwab, Scott Pienowski. Listen, anytime they're here, it's a good time for this show. That is going to conclude Convictions Week. If it's a social media app, Yahoo Fantasy, it's there. At Yahoo Fantasy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @MattHarmon_BYB. You must be following at Yahoo Schwab, the ultimate company man, and you must be following at @Scott_Pienowski. You can watch this show on YouTube. And my God, just seeing the beautiful faces of the betting bros just smiling at each other and going back and forth about these nonsense references I have never heard. You got to check it out. YouTube at Yahoo Sports. I'm going to be back on Monday with Scott as we begin cram week. We know most of you have important drafts coming up to Labor Day weekend again, so every episode next week is going to be dedicated to that. We're going to start you off with the info you may have missed if you were having a real life and not paying attention to football all offseason, which, you know, that's probably a good thing. But until then, we're out.